Life isn't easy for the Wyoming Range mule deer herd. Some of them make the world's longest mule deer migration over rugged mountains. Along the way, they struggle with disease, predators, and energy development. But last winter's record-breaking snowpack was downright brutal. Every single fawn radio-collared from the herd last year died. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports.
If you want to catch mule deer fawns, you've got to get up pretty early in the morning. It's 5 a.m. when University of Wyoming research scientist Samantha Dwinell gets on her computer. She checks signals emitted from a radio-collared pregnant doe that show she's been hunkering down in one spot.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
That's
exactly what we're looking for.
The doe's been there all night, and that means she probably gave birth. Dwinell and her crew quick pack up their gear and jump into the truck to go find the doe, and hopefully her fawns. Deer almost always give birth to twins, and they want to put radio collars on both of them. Last year at this time, most of the fawns were already born. But things are different this time. Dwinell says ultrasounds show that fawns haven't grown as big as they should have.
We had, the harsh winter. We saw sort of a depressed fetal development, and we weren't quite sure what that means, and so far what it appears to be meaning is that everything is delayed.
So they're being born and they're healthy, but it's just later.
Yeah, exactly.
Last year's fawns, though, aren't around anymore. When their moms couldn't dig down through the snow that piled up to 175% of normal, many fawns died of malnutrition. Wyoming Game and Fish Department's Gary Fralick sits next to me in the backseat of the truck. He says this herd has been losing numbers for a while now, and it was another bad winter in the early 90s that started their slide. He says back then, Game and Fish tried to keep the herd size at around 38,000, but when it rose higher, the agency dished out more hunting licenses.
During those 2 years, a fairly liberal doe harvest was followed by an extremely severe winter in 1993, and those three factors, 2 years of substantial doe harvest followed by a severe winter, really lowered the population.
But even after the agency cut back on hunting, the population never rebounded. Now there's only around 20,000. Fralick remembers some very angry hunters showing up at public meetings. Trucks wore bumper stickers that read, "Save a deer, kill a wildlife biologist." It got ugly. But Fralick says back in 93, agencies didn't have the hard science to back their policies. Now they have 24 years worth to help them answer some questions.
What we need to understand is why these deer succumb so severely in some of these winters.
We follow the Grays River deep into the backcountry and start hiking. Dwinell carries an antenna and receiver that beeps faster as we get closer to the doe. We do our best to tiptoe over the snow and fallen trees. Then we see the doe mosey by.
We're very near. We're 40 meters from it right now. It's good when they walk away slow like that. They do that when they have a fawn. Just try to be stealth and quiet and sneak away.
Mom is trying to keep us from finding her fawns. We start looking anyway. But Dwinell says moseying isn't something this doe has done much of in the last couple of months.
She migrates from her winter range outside of LaBarge and Big Piney over the Wyoming range. All of the deer within this population, or almost all of them, make these incredible journeys over some pretty gnarly terrain.
Barbed wire fences, gas fields, subdivisions, this doe has seen it all. And after this winter, she's lucky to be alive, according to Kevin Monteith, the University of Wyoming wildlife biologist heading this study.
Of the adult females that were there at the beginning of winter, we've lost nearly 40% of them, which is pretty striking to lose that many adult females.
Normally, only about 15% die in winter. But Monteith says all this loss could be good news for survivors like this doe and her young.
We now have many fewer mouths on that landscape to feed. So that's not necessarily what we want, but in turn, what that means for each individual animal that remains is potentially more, better food available to each one of them.
Game and Fish's Gary Fralick agrees there's benefits for science. He says it's an opportunity to learn something about how mule deer pull through.
This population will in fact recover, as they have done for hundreds if not thousands of years.
And because of the hard winter, the study has been funded for 2 more years. It takes us a while, but we eventually find the 2 fawns curled up under logs. Quickly, Dwinell and Freilich begin weighing and measuring them.
I'm wanting to try to get blood on this one, but it's kicking a bunch, and I don't know if I'll be successful. You chill. Just gonna hang tight with her, if you don't mind.
That's me she's talking to. I do my best to hold down a squirming, healthy fawn. The frustrated mom runs circles around us, huffing and stomping. The crew pulls radio collars over their tiny heads, takes photos, and then...
Yeah, I think we're ready to go.
Ready to release them?
They let them go, and the fawns wobble off into the forest to hide again, camouflaged, instantly. If they survive disease and predators, in a few months, they'll still have a long walk into winter ahead of them. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.
Looks like we're good.